In John chapter 21 today, if you want to turn there with me or look as we do on the screen in a few moments. One of the most important questions that we face in life is the question of identity. Now, maybe you haven't spent a lot of time with that recently, but I know young people certainly do. They try to discover this thing of who they are. Something identifies us. Many times it's what we do for a profession or what we've retired from. For me, I can be called a preacher, a pastor, a jewelry shop manager. All those things fit. And who are you this morning, by the way? What defines you? For me, am I a preacher because I preach, or am I a preacher because someone impacted my life and influenced me to be a preacher? Well, in my case, I'm a preacher because that's what Christ called me to do. And so it's something that I must do. However, there were particular people, though, that had an influence on me as I answered God's calling in my life to preach. One of those was a pastor named Edsel Bone. He was up in First Baptist Church of South Haven. And then another one that was instrumental in my life was Frank Watkins from Southeast Louisiana, dear friend of mine who's now with the Lord, been with the Lord for quite some time now. But when it comes to my secular job, I entered, and I'm sharing all these personal things with you just for a moment, if you'll excuse me, to kind of set this thing up of what I'm talking about today. When it comes to my secular job, I entered the jewelry profession because of my uncle's influence. What I'm trying to tell you is that something influenced you to help you be who you are today, you might say. But I can say that my involvement in jewelry could define who I am. Usually what I think of first is that what God called me to do. And that's number one. God called me to do what I do. And the other things just have to fall in line somewhere behind that. Sometimes a person will be adversely affected. Something bad may happen in their life. They may make a wrong decision. Maybe it's a divorce, a bad business dealing, drugs, alcohol, prison, all these things. Can adversely affect someone. But what we must do is discover or make solid our identity in Christ and get on with His plan for our life to identify who we are. And it's not just saying that I'm a Christian. You know, there's a lot of people that say that they're a Christian. You ask them and they'll tell you. Even though they never go to church or they've never really made a profession of faith in Christ, they may say that they're a Christian because they're an American, for instance. But the whole gist of the sermon today is that you and I should first be identified as followers of Christ, not just a Christian. People often say that they're a Christian to keep from being identified as being something else. But a true Christian follows Christ. A true Christian does. Let's consider Peter for a moment. Leading up to our text today, Peter had been a follower of Christ for some time. He boasted at one time that he would never leave Jesus, but later denied him. Jesus brought Peter to a point where he recognized his failures and he came back to Jesus and he was forgiven, he was restored, recommissioned as a disciple of Christ. Just prior to our text today, Jesus had asked him three times, "Peter, who do you love?" And he was trying to get Peter to understand who should be most important in his life. Who do you love, Peter? Well, you say that you're a Christian today. I think all of us in here today would say that we're a Christian, but what does that mean? Peter's life was about to begin fresh and anew as we come to our text today, but Jesus drew Peter back into one final conversation today that we find in John chapter 21, beginning with verse 18. And the words of Jesus, as they did Peter, will help us discover who we are in Christ and what God is asking us to do. So let's look together. John 21, beginning with verse 18. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, which was John, the one who had also leaned back against him during supper, and said, "Lord, who is it that's going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" He said, "You follow me." First off, as we consider this, I want us to see that Jesus reminded Peter of where he came from. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted." Peter's younger days were characterized by doing impulsive things and being independent like many young people would do, ready to change the world, right? Ready to conquer the world, make a difference out there, show the old people how it's done, right? I remember raising my kids, and they always thought they were smarter than you, and then they think you were stupid. And then later on, they discovered that you weren't as dumb as they thought you were, right? But this would be the generation that would be like no other, invincible, fail-proof. Don't you wish you could go back in time sometimes and change, knowing what you do now and change some things and make things different or correct some mistakes and so forth? Susie and I talk about that all the time. You know, what or how far back would we go? That was our last discussion. If we could go back, how far back would we go? And I would say, well, I don't want to go back into high school days. I won't go back that far. But maybe just after high school, I'd go in there and we'd do this and that. Well, all that's just talk, right? Because nobody can do that. But what if you could? Those impulsive, carefree days that Peter had, like most all young people, would have often changed when the battles came, right? That's how it is. Younger people, I remember even myself, When we would get out into the real world, we could do this and we could do that. We could make this happen and change this and change that. And then when we faced reality, it's different, right? It's much different. There'd come a day in Peter's life when his life would change radically. A second thing Jesus told Peter was what to expect in the future. He continued, "But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." There's a point in time when others have to help us do what we need to do, right? But here Jesus is referring more than just the process of aging. He's referring actually to Peter's death. In verse 19 he says, "This he said to show what kind of death he was to glorify God." Jesus was speaking of Peter's own crucifixion. How would you like for Jesus to tell you when you're going to die and how you're going to die? Would you want to know that today? I wouldn't want to know that, would you? I wouldn't want to know that at all. But here, that's what he's telling Jesus or Peter. He's saying, "Peter, here's what kind of death you're going to die." In John 13 and verse 36, Jesus told Peter, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward." Peter eventually did follow Jesus to prison and then to death. The historian Eusebius wrote that Peter requested to be crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified in the same way as the Lord was. So Jesus reminded Peter of where he came from and what to expect in the future. And then thirdly, Jesus challenged Peter about his calling. Now this is where it's getting down to the "who are you" part of it. He said, "Follow me. Follow me." At that point, Peter went from carefree and independent to being ready to lay down his life for Jesus. He discovered who he was. Whether we realize it or not, we're all followers of something, aren't we? There's something that we're following. There's something that has influenced our life, and that's the way we are, and we're following something. Peter followed his family, for instance, into the fishing business. But then there was a day that Jesus came and showed up and asked Peter to leave all of that and to follow him. Peter dropped everything and he followed Jesus. Now, Jesus doesn't have that same kind of calling on all of us, does he? Not in that same exact way, professionally. But he calls us to follow him, does he not? He calls us to follow him. Most of us, with Peter, you know, he answered the call of Christ, but he failed. That's the way I feel sometimes. I've answered the call of Christ, but I've failed, and I've failed, and I've failed, and I've had to keep coming back and asking for forgiveness and then fail again. Sometimes at the same things, right? The same struggles, the same things, on and on. And Peter, it seemed like he was the one that did it the most in the Bible, doesn't it? It seems like he was. Most of us would have written Peter off, but Jesus forgave him and restored him. Today, having reached out to you and I with forgiveness and restoration, he's issuing that same challenge to us, right? Follow me. Follow me. Today we can think of three ways that Jesus says to follow me. First, Jesus, if you're saved today, if you've answered that call of Jesus on your life and you have come to him confessing sins and repentance and ask him to come into your heart, he first calls you into salvation, right? I hope everybody in here today has answered that call, right? Amen. Secondly, now this is where we stumble. Jesus calls us beyond passive, inactive salvation into service for him. He doesn't just call us to be saved and sit and soak, right? He calls us into active service for him. And like I say, that's where we stumble a lot, don't we? Because we don't do that a lot of times. A third thing is, like Peter, one day we will follow Jesus to the Father's house, right? That's what Jesus meant when he told Peter, "One day you're going to follow me further. You're going to follow me to the Father's house." That's the blessing of being saved, right? One day we'll follow Jesus to heaven and be with the Father. Isn't that exciting? Versus the alternative, which there is one. The alternative of that being hell. Not everybody goes to heaven. Only those who have trusted Jesus as Savior. That's not Keith's idea. That's what the Bible says. Now notice as this conversation continues between Peter and Jesus, another question is raised. What is your purpose? What is your purpose? After Jesus told Peter to follow him, Peter turned around and he saw John following behind. He said, Lord, what about this guy? Right? What about this guy back here following here behind us? In other words, Jesus, you're challenging me to follow you and you're telling me all these things, what I should be doing. What about him? That's a lot of times what we ask, isn't it? I get so tired of people that work for me down in Ridgeland, and I hear this kind of stuff. And I'd say the same thing if they were sitting right there. Well, you're asking me to do that, and you're expecting this and this and this out of me. What about him? He doesn't do as much work as I do. What about that one? He doesn't do that. You know what my answer always is? Melon, you probably heard that too, hadn't you, brother? Anybody who's managed people has heard that. My classic answer is, I'm not talking about other people. I'm talking about you. It's you and me having this conversation. We're not talking about Tom, Bill, or Harry. We're talking about you. And that's what Jesus really is telling Peter, right? Peter, I'm not talking about John. I'm not talking about the other apostles. I'm talking about you, brother. I'm talking about you. So get your mind on the right thing, Peter. Get your mind on the right thing. I'm talking about you. You don't worry about what John is doing. Well, what we learn from this is, first off, God has a purpose for your life. Don't waste it, right? I don't care if you're sitting in here today and you're 100 years old. Or maybe you're not that old, but you feel that old, right? God still has a purpose for you. God still has a purpose for you being on the planet, right? You see, Peter was always taking his eyes off Jesus and putting his eyes on himself or his circumstances. When Jesus first asked Peter to follow him, Peter took his eyes off Jesus and he asked Jesus to depart from him because he was a wicked man. You remember that? And then you remember the walking on the water thing? Jesus invited Peter, come on out, walk on the water. And Jesus is walking on the water. Everything's cool. Man, this is fantastic. I'm walking on the water. But then I took my eyes off Jesus and I started looking at my circumstances, right? I started to sink. That's classic Peter. And that's classic you and me, right? Now, Peter is distracted, wondering if Jesus is going to use John instead of him. Maybe Peter was wondering if Jesus had a better plan for John. Maybe I ought to just sit back and wait and maybe I'll get something better. That's the way we rationalize church service sometimes. Well, I don't want to do that menial job. Maybe Jesus has got something better for me, so I'm just going to wait and see if he does. And we wait and see if he does, and we wait and see if he does, and it goes on forever, doesn't it? Well, we don't need to worry about what God's plan is for John, right? That goes on in the business world too, don't it? It aggravates you because you see this person excelling and you're not, or that person got the promotion and you didn't, or you got passed over again and again and again. Hey, I felt that way. I even told my boss one day, after being passed over two or three times for the same thing, I said, well, I guess I'll just have to quit and go somewhere else. If you ever tell your boss that? I guess I'll just have to quit and go somewhere else if I want to be promoted. I was in the flesh that day, by the way. I don't recommend that you do that. He didn't fire me. He didn't tell me, go on. He actually told me, well, if you get that idea, let me know because I won't talk you out of it. And I'm all, whew. That makes you feel about that low. But it doesn't matter, really, does it? It does not matter what happens with this person or that person, or maybe how God's gifted this one, he hasn't gifted me. Maybe, you know, whatever situation that is, it does not matter, because what matters is that we're following Christ, right? That we're following in the footsteps of Christ. We're doing what Christ wants us to do. That's what matters. Nothing else does. We need to take the words of Jesus this morning, don't we? You follow me. What does it matter what I do with John? You follow me. That's what Jesus said. Well, a second thing there is that God has a creative plan for your life. When? Start doing it now, right? Start doing it now. Now, Jesus has this custom tailored plan for all of his people. You say, well, I've done it all, preacher. You know, I've been a Christian for 50 years. Join the club. Me too. That's 1971. I don't know how many years that is. It's a long time. And I've wasted a lot of that time. Wasted it. Not thinking or understanding that God had a creative plan for my life and that I needed to start doing it then and quit putting it off. The best way to find God's plan for your life is just to start doing something, right? That's what finally sunk in here. You start doing something for the Lord and you'll discover what he wants you to do. Because if you're not working in the kingdom where he wants you to, if you're not in the right place, then it won't work out. And often things, sometimes things may go wrong. But we need to do something. We need to start doing it now, right? If we'd start doing it now, we'd see more people sitting in here this morning, right? I believe that. Do you believe that? Now, Peter, of course, had the gift of evangelism. We read back in over in the book of Acts where he preached and thousands of people were saved. Wouldn't that be fantastic? We wouldn't even know how to baptize that many people, would we? We'd be stumbling and tripping over ourselves. We might have to let some of the new people do some of the work, right? There's a switch. We get new people in church. We want to put constraints on them. You can't do this and that until you're here and you've proved yourself for years and years and years, and then we might let you do something. I bet they didn't do that in the early church, right? Wasn't enough of them. How did the disciples baptize 3,000 people? Yeah. I bet they baptized the first one, Melon, and they say, okay, now you go baptize the next one and baptize you, and now you go baptize them too. And that, well, that'd be unheard of, wouldn't it? If you can't say amen, say oh me. Third thing, God has a priority for your life, and the priority is follow Jesus, right? Do I need to say that how many more times? Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. If you don't remember a single solitary other thing that was said here this morning, say, the preacher said to what? Say it with me. Follow Jesus. Again, follow Jesus. That's the priority, isn't it? If we do that, everything else falls in line. You remember old Mahatma Gandhi? Yeah, we do, don't we? And I'm not a proponent of Gandhi, although some of the things he said were pretty interesting. One thing, somebody asked him, if you admire Christ so much, and he did. He said he admired Christ, but he hated Christians. They said, if you admire Christ so much, why don't you become a Christian? And he said, when I find a Christian who follows Christ, I will. Wow. If I see a Christian following Christ, then I'll become a Christian. Do you think any of your friends have said that? Do you think any of your relatives have said that? I hate to say that they probably said that about me at some points. That's what happens, you see. There's too many people calling themselves Christians when they're not. But if I don't call myself a Christian, then what am I? Because people may expect me to say that I'm a Christian. And if I don't say that I'm a Christian, they might think that I'm an atheist, which I know I'm not an atheist because I believe God and I believe Christ. Or they might think that I'm a Jew or a Hindu or a Muslim, heaven forbid. Of course, none of us really look like Muslims, do we? But that's the thing. If I don't call myself a Christian, somebody will think that I'm something else. Well, then who are you? Are you a Baptist? I've heard people say that a lot of times, haven't you? Say, are you go to church? Oh, I'm a Baptist. I'm Baptist. Are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Baptist. What does that mean? That means you affiliated with the Baptist church, or you've got your name on the roll at the Baptist church, but you've never been. I bet you if we had a roll cleaning job done on this church right here, we'd find a lot of people probably dead, right? I don't know. Dig back in there. Somebody said the FBI couldn't find half of Baptist folks on any given Sunday morning. The FBI couldn't find them. They don't exist. But they're Baptists in name only. Well, we can be Christians in name only, can't we? We can just say, I'm a Christian. Boy, I'm a Christian. And then maybe they'll quit talking to us, right? Jesus' words, follow me, reminds us that Christianity is Christ. If I say that I'm a Christian, that ought to automatically tell me that I follow Christ, right? Not just believing in Christ in a mental sense, but believing Him to turn my back on everything else to follow Him. Now, that's not to say that I'm ignoring everything else, right? That's not to say that I'm ignoring everybody else and I'm ignoring everything that I have to do in life to make. It's not saying that. It's saying that to me, Christ is a priority. He's a priority. The question we must ask ourselves is not, am I religious? It is, am I a Christ follower? Am I following Christ? The truth Jesus taught Peter is that the Christian life is about nothing more or nothing less than following Christ. That's pretty simple if you think about it. It really is pretty simple. You say, well, I just can't live the Christian life. It's hard. You know why it's hard? Because you're not following Christ. Right? You're not following Christ. You're following what you think a Christian ought to be. No, you follow Christ. And you stop trying to measure your life up against other people that call themselves Christians. No, you follow Christ, right? You do it. And so this morning, first I want to ask you if you're saved. Because you can't follow Christ if you're not saved, right? You can't follow Him if you're not saved. Are you a Christian in name only? It doesn't really mean anything. Just kind of a status symbol. No, you need to follow Christ, right? Are you avid about it? Are you passionate about it? Or are we really following Christ like we should? You decide, right? You decide. It's on you. I can't determine that for you. You have to decide. Draw a line in the sand. You know, following Christ is not, I'll follow Him if everything's going okay, or I'll follow Him as long as it don't get too hard, or I'll follow Him, you know, my Christianity, it's just a private thing. I've heard people say that before. Well, it's just a private thing between me and God. Jesus never said it was a private thing, did He? He never said it was just between you and Him. He saved you to serve and to follow Him. That's what it's all about. And I'm going to tell you, you can't find a better arrangement. There's not a better arrangement. There's not a better plan than the plan that He has for you, right? So let's first look at yourself. Am I saved? Have I had a saving experience with Jesus? And then am I following Him? Am I following in His footsteps? Let's think about those two things today. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word, and I pray that You will help us to focus on those two challenges from Your Word today. I pray, Lord, that if there's someone here today that needs to make a decision, that it will be made during this invitation time. If they have something to share with me about that decision, I pray that they would come forward, even preferably while we're having the invitation, but if not, afterward, and make their decision known. In Jesus' name, amen.